Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We found one of our buddies, Albert Breer. Nobody has, over the years, come on our show after breaking news more to discuss what Washington's been up to than Albert. And he just sat down and he said, "How does it feel to not cover a bad team anymore?"
It's weird.
That's kind
of weird.
I think it was more colorful than that.
Yes, it was slightly.
Like, how does it not like? How does it feel not to cover a crap show anymore?
Right.
So, yeah.
I did the radio friendly version. It's weird, man. I'm out here this week, and everyone's coming up going, "I thought you guys might be here." It's hitting me all over again how close they got. And they weren't that close. They gave up 55 in the NFC title game. But they played in a championship game.
Which is wild, yeah. I mean, I think you guys know what I think AP and DQ, and I thought they'd get it right eventually. If I'm being honest, I believe I picked them to finish last in the division. I don't think anybody would have argued with that at the time. And I thought they were probably – like, to me, I would have thought a win for them this year would have been like a 5 or 6 win season where they're showing, like, real promise at the end. Like, that's what I thought it was. And, God, I mean, like, they're in the NFC title game. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy how far they came in just a year.
So, two things. One, I'm watching Albert on FS1 right now do a hit. I'm watching him here live on YouTube.
So that's not live, because this is live, Danny. He is here right now.
But it's weird. It's a lot of Albert in my eye line, and I like it. I'm here for it. How does it change kind of the optics going forward, Albert, though? It's kind of the point. Like, if they don't go to the NFC title game next year, they could be good. They could even be better than they were this year, probably on paper, talent-wise, or whatever. But now, how does that sort of affect their process, building, and kind of their identity?
I mean, the best answer I could give you is that it shouldn't. And I know that sounds weird, but like I still think like they're a ways away from where they need to be from a roster standpoint to win a championship. And it might be difficult to get there in another single offseason. I think when they got there, it was a multi-offseason rebuild. They were able to do some things to accelerate it by bringing in a huge number of guys that they had connections with, like Zachary to play for Cliff Kingsbury. Biotish, Doris Armstrong, Dante Fowler were with DQ in Dallas, and Joe Witt as well. Bobby Wagner obviously goes back with DQ all the way to Seattle. you know, Austin Ekeler was with Anthony Lynn. Nick Allegretti had a connection. You know, there was a connection there through Shane Taube, who's Dave Taube's son. So there's just so much of it was, all right, like, what do we need to do to get ourselves in a position where we can be competitive on a week-to-week basis? And they were able to take it way further than anybody thought they could. I don't know if that doesn't mean that they still have a need at tackle, that they still have a need at edge rusher. I mean, we'll see at corner. I think, you know, Marshawn Lattimore, if he can stay healthy, he's a high-level corner. But as you guys saw, you know, like, that's always been an open question with him. So when I say it shouldn't affect the way that they conduct themselves, they obviously had a good plan to get things off the ground. And I've seen before where an owner or people involved in the building process can, you know, kind of get that whiff of, like, getting close to a Lombardi and go hog wild, and I don't know that that's the answer for them right now. I think what they can do is take advantage of having Jaden Daniels on a rookie contract in that window that they're in, where they can start to spend and target certain pieces.
Let me jump in, because I want to ask you about a piece potentially. Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter for MMQB. You see him on Amazon NFL on Prime. Miles Garrett has been linked to Washington in the sense of, if he's traded, they would make sense. Do you think they actually trade him? You're super plugged in with Cleveland.
I don't think that's their intention. I don't think that's their intention at all. You know, and I think
so. This is just a I went out and they said.
Well, that's part of the reason why it became public. I mean, it became it had been, I think, in for over a week, the trade request. And, you know, I think Miles Garrett made it public because he was hitting a brick wall with it, you know? And so what do you do in that case? Well, you know, if you make it public, then. Really, there's nothing more that the Browns need to do then. You know, so you're basically doing the Browns' work for them in that, you know, I think more than half the league is probably going to call Andrew Berry, and they're going to see what his market value is. So, you know, I think Miles Garrett handling this the way he did was smart, because it's now we get to – now the Browns are going to get to see exactly what they get from me without shopping me. And maybe they'll be motivated to make a move. I mean,
who would say Washington's next two ones for Garrett? Is that not enough, or is
I think that would be the starting point. I think I think the baseline is two ones, and I think you'd need to go beyond that because they don't intend to trade him. You know, and so you know, I looked at, like, some of the history of this, and you know, Laremy Tunsil and Jamal Adams and. You know, Jalen Ramsey is probably the closest, but he was way younger than Miles Garrett. He was, I believe it was two ones and a four, maybe. I think that was the trade. So, you know, I think that the baseline has to be two first-round picks. And then I think to convince him to actually move him, you're talking about more than that. And where your pick is affects that. Hard to believe the Commanders have a lower pick than the
say,
Lions.
29,
amazing, right?
I mean,
yeah. But, I mean, like, if you have to look at it, obviously, you know, when you're talking about a first-round pick, say, you know, I don't know, Atlanta badly needs a pass rusher. So where's Atlanta's pick in the first round? Having a higher pick in this situation is obviously going to mean that you've got to add less in addition to the first-round pick.
Albert, give me a 30,000-foot kind of thought here on the Super Bowl, and then out of the Super Bowl, what's the trend that every NFL team is going to try to copy based on the participants?
Yeah, I'd say, like, my 30,000-foot view of the Super Bowl is the Eagles are the better roster, but the Chiefs have Mahomes and Reed and Kelsey and Jones. And, you know, I think there are, like, a couple little things that will help determine this game. One is what the Chiefs do with Joe Tooney. You know, and do they move him back inside to deal with Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and Milton Williams? So that'd be one big thing to watch. You know, and then I think the Chiefs will try to get their speed, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, matched up on some of the guys that the Eagles line up inside. You know, so Cooper DeJean and C.J. Gardner-Johnson. So I think there's some cool matchup stuff. There's some cool matchup stuff here. I'm picking the Chiefs because I now have a no picking against Mahomes and Reed policy.
You and me both.
It's a good policy.
I put that into a place a year ago, then I violated it before the AFC title game, so I'm not going to do that again. And then I'd say, like, the trend with the Chiefs, it's like, go find a Hall of Fame.
They just do that, right?
That doesn't really work. You know, I think one thing the Eagles have been so good at, like, that's really hard to do, is their asset management is off the charts good. And they always have a lot of their development and their investment back into their program and their ability to build depth is outstanding. And I think, you know, if there's something to learn from them, it's how they pull every single lever. I mean, you know, they strike out too, like everybody else. Like, they drafted receivers in back-to-back years, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Jalen Reagor in the first two rounds. They passed on Justin Jefferson to draft Reagor. And that would be devastating for a lot of teams, but they kept chipping away. They drafted Devontae Smith the next year and traded for A.J. Brown the year after that. They struck out on Andre Dillard in the first round of the draft. Well, they drafted Jordan Mulata and developed him. So, and then, you know, like, to fill in the blanks, they go and get a guy like a Zach Bond. You know what I mean? Like a mid-level free agent. They go and get
– turns into a first-team all-pro.
You know, yeah, they get somebody else's bust in Mekhi Becton and turn him into a really good guard. You know, I just think it's like the lesson is you invest deeply in your operation, and you're looking around every corner for draft picks. And so for other organizations, this isn't easy. You know what I mean? It's either go find a Hall of Fame coach and Hall of Fame quarterback and pair them together, which is really hard to do, or just invest so deeply and pull every lever constantly and fix your mistakes and – look, like, the Eagles are here again for the second time in 2 years. And I think as much as anything else, it's an organizational triumph in Philly. And it's just about how well-rounded and how well-funded and how well-established their way of doing things is.
It's good to see you, Albert.
Absolutely,
appreciate
guys.
A couple of minutes.
Thanks, Albert.
Enjoy the week.